It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Della Tofola and the Beverage People. Pete Fapiano has been with us all day. He's sticking around, and of course, why wouldn't he?
This is the fun part of the show.
We're very excited to have La Crema here today. Dan, introduce our guests.
Ben Fine is the, call it the expert in waiting. He can make the wine himself, but he doesn't. He lets it happen. By Jen Walsh is the winemaker. She's with us, too. Kathy's with us, even. This has been a real evolution in my life with this brand. I go all the way back to the very beginning of the brand when Jason Corman purchased. What's a long evolved story? We won't go into the details. But Jackson family now owns this property, and it has really risen. Not entirely sure by accident. There's been some sleight of hand going on here, getting the very, very best grapes. This brand has really taken off in the last 5-6 years and has become its own unique star in the portfolio. The wines are great. The prices are fair. The most impressive thing is the consistency of the way each varietal is handled. I mean, the Chardonnay, the Pinot, and other varieties that previously weren't even in the portfolio. So you guys can talk to that. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you're doing my job for me. You nailed it. And you remember what La Crema was originally called?
La Crema Vignera.
La Crema Vignera, best of the vine. And you nailed it. It's always been about coastal fruit, really.
Yeah.
Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. And, you know, everyone loves Pinot Noir, but if you remember early 90s, late 80s, it was sort of, I'll drink my Pinot while I wait for my glass of wine. And, you know, the idea when Jess Jackson and Barbara and the family took it over was, okay, we love the concept of coastal fruit. Let's get some access to some really great vineyards, farm it sustainably, and make some great wine. And like you said, it's taken off. And now we have great winemakers like Jen here who, you know, doing some really cool single vineyard wines that we're
going to
taste.
Now it's a call brand as opposed to previously it was what, La what? And now everybody knows the name.
Yeah.
I've been a huge fan for so long.
We brought a few extra bottles because I remember you were a fan.
Yes.
We're going to try a lot of wines today. So. Well, thanks for having us on. We're excited to share our wines with you. And thanks a lot for the really kind words. It's a great place to work. We have a lot of estate fruit that I think any winemaker would just be like crazy about. So we're, it's a fun place to work.
I love the nose on this. Tell us what this is.
Yeah, so we're drinking our new release of Russian River Bubbles. So this is our sparkling wine. It's a non-vintage, and it's from Sara Lee's Vineyard that Ben talks about so eloquently. But it's a traditional method, sparkling wine. High acid, low dosage, very kind of classic, kind of zippy sparkling wine.
And it's apropos, you know, La Crema, the name carries a lot of weight. We know plenty of people, including our own CEO's and president's wife, who only drink La Crema. So it only made sense we have a sparkling wine. And to come from this property that we now call our home is really nice. I mean, we love sparkling, I know. Mm-hmm.
That's what I drink.
Yeah, that's when we saw you up at Wine Song, and we were all sharing in some, which was nice. And it's cool because this is our 40th year anniversary.
Wow.
So we just, it's crazy. And we just did a big celebration of that at the Sara Lee property. And we tried to get as many of the past winemakers there. We had the Rodfather, right? Rod Berglund was there. Jeff Stewart. Who else was there?
Oh, gosh, everyone, me on the spot.
Yeah.
Mike Sullivan was there.
So Melissa, great talent in the past of this property.
Yeah.
Rod set the tone for things because he was so eclectic in his tastes. He would always look for those unusual vineyards, those unusual clones, those unusual varieties. And he really worked his butt off to try to put this thing on the map. And Rod has reverted to his family property, which is the Swan.
Joe Swan
property, and he's doing some great work over there. But boy, your other winemakers have had such an incredible impact on this brand.
And Jen, how did you get into the wine world and become a winemaker?
Well, it goes back to being a teenager and I worked at my only a few years ago. I worked at my uncle's restaurant, so started bussing tables and worked my way up to being a server, and some 16 presenting wines, trying to tell the tale of wines when I couldn't even drink them at the time. But this was back east, and ultimately I knew it was my passion, so I came out here. Went to Davis and worked all over the place.
There you go.
Just always passionate about Pinot and Chardonnay.
How long have you been at Le Carême now?
This is my third harvest.
Okay.
Yeah, but all over the place before that, and even making wine in Maryland. So that's where I got started.
Maryland wine.
Yeah.
Catoctin?
So you know she's talented.
Frederick.
She's making a Maryland Le Carême brought her in. Yeah. So, and you can see, we talked about these different labels. A big project for Jen is working on these single vineyard wines, right? You walk into Sara Lee's Vineyard, and we're usually greeted, and people are like, I love your wines. I drink them all the time. And they're talking about the Sonoma Coast, the Monterey Coast, and we always really appreciate their support. But these are wines you can only find there, and that's your focus,
yeah,
right? I mean, these single vineyards, some of our best vineyards, and it's great. You can see the label's different, because if Sonoma Coast is your go-to wine when you go out to a restaurant, when you want to celebrate that the honeymoon, the anniversary, the extra special occasion. You want extra special wine. You can trust the pedigree of Le Carême winemaking, but these are really extra special, really hard to find wine.
Dan, did you talk about the sparkling wine?
I think the sparkling wine is an absolute killer example of how to put together a cuvée. The word cuvée means essentially it's a blend, but in this case it's really much more than that, because they're using 70% Chardonnay for the weight of the wine, but the wine doesn't have any weight. It has this incredible delicacy, and the weight is coming from the Pinot, and it's only 30% of the blend, but you smell the Pinot initially. Now, in about 2 or 3 more years, the Chardonnay is going to come in, the flavors of the Chardonnay will bloom, and then the Pinot just becomes a substrate. But right now, it's really a Pinot Noir-based wine, even though it's only 30% of the blend. Gorgeous wine, just stunning.
Thanks for that.
I don't know what it's only available at the tasting room, I assume?
Only available at the tasting room for the time being, I guess. Right,
yeah.
Ben?
So you want to make more, yeah.
No, it's a fun, it's what I like to drink. It's what I drink at home.
Yeah.
So, and we focus on Pinot and Chardonnay, so it was just a natural progression to start making sparkling.
Le Carême Chardonnay is, when I order Chardonnay, that's what I go for.
Thank you for your support.
It's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
this is distinctive, though.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is this the Chard?
Yeah.
So this is from...
Oh,
this
what year is this?
On.
Yeah, this is the single vineyard Sara Lee's Vineyard Chardonnay, and it sort of comes full circle, right? Because the Richard and Sara Lee reached out to the family in 2013 to see if we wanted to purchase the property, and of course we did, but we've been using grapes from here for 20 years, and now Jen's making this incredible single vineyard from the property.
Dan, would you say this has a subtle nose?
Well, it's subtle in one respect. Because the first thing you get is the citrus. But combined with that is this cream. But it isn't the kind of cream that you would associate with butter. Mm-hmm. It's cream associated with like a very delicate French reduction sauce. Mm-hmm. And that is just pretty amazing to put into a glass of wine.
I'm going to have to write down your tasting notes. This is good stuff.
That's what I do for a living.
And this is the fun thing for me, working with Sara Lee's, with this vineyard. It's a 200-acre estate planted to all these different clones of Pinot and Chardonnay. So it's any given year, I have this huge palette of, grapes to work with and make this wine. It's a really fun wine to make.
And it's also great. Hard to make this, too, because you're putting it into some new barrels.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the secret is to make sure that the new barrels don't show. And they don't.
Right.
It's an amazing balance wheel between the citrusy components, which are classic for a cool region, but then to pair that with a little bit of this light, almost, I hate to say, drawn butter kind of thing. It's not buttery in the sense of butyric. Mm-hmm. It's more buttery in the sense of like a great olive oil.
Mm. Oh. This would go texture. Great with lobster.
No question about it.
This Mike, will you bring in some lobster from the food cellar?
Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's astounding wine.
Yeah, it really is.
Thanks. We try to be pretty restrained with our oak usage. We want it to support the wine, add some texture, but we don't want it to dominate the wine.
I love the metaphor that sort of the you know, the oak is the frame of the painting. You're appreciating the painting, but the frame really holds it all together.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, it's just we're the only American winery that owns a joint venture Stavemill in France. So Jen has full, you know, control of what profile she wants and what she wants to use. And
also, you guys have a beautiful place. We'll get more into that in a moment. It's on Slusser Road. Mm. And I always tell people if you wind up after you tasting there, you say, Schlesser, make sure you have a designated driver. Okay?
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That truly is amazing.
Yeah.
So we're moving on to our second Chardonnay. This is our Kellyanne Chardonnay.
Oh, I forgot to say, brought to you also by Bottle Barn, of course, yes. Always has been. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the majority, or close to a majority of your wines are available at Bottle Barn. Well,
the Black Label ones would not be, because these are really special. They're unique wines, tiny quantities produced, and so they're available largely at the mm-hmm. tasting room.
Okay. Right. These single vineyard wines are available through Wine Club at the tasting room and very limited at certain restaurants.
But you are right, Steve. They support us with our Sonoma mm-hmm. Coast, our Monterey, you know, Bottle Barn, aka Church. We love them over there. So.
Yeah, they're the best.
I support them a lot myself.
Yeah, we do. You can't just walk in there and get one bottle.
That's no, kind of like my
every time I go
Christmas
in, it's like. I'm going to be here an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I want a bottle of Pinot, leave with tequila. It's never a problem.
Amazing selection.
So this is Kellyanne Vineyard, which I called Jen last week because we're doing a sort of vine-to-wine, you know, documentary on all the hands that touch grapes before it's in your bottle. And I was like, tell me about this vineyard. And one cool thing, I mean, she's going to talk about it, but I just love how you were like, it's an ugly vineyard, but a lot of Russian River, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir vineyards, the ugliest produce the best fruit, right?
Yeah, and I'm quoting other winemakers.
When you say ugly...
Yeah, define ugly. What's
well, you know how you're driving around the Russian River, Sonoma Coast, or Sonoma County, and you see these perfectly manicured,
sure.
you know, straight up and down sort of vines, and they look amazing. And I'm sure those grapes taste great. But Kellyanne, you walk out there, and it looks a little bit kind of
funky,
you know. Yeah, I mean, it's a healthy vineyard, but it's, you know, in these giant cordons. It's, you know, it's an old vineyard, so it's low yielding, really concentrated clusters. It's planted on, you know, this old rootstock AXR.
Producing?
It's still producing because it's very close to the Russian River, and so it has a high water table, which I think helps to, you know, keep the roots alive.
And probably you're keeping other farm equipment out.
Right, and it's dry farmed.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool vineyard, but, you know, Ben got out there and was like, just let's have a glass of wine while we're walking around, and then you'll understand.
Yeah. Well,
now, when you say old, what's the age of the vines in the vineyard?
So, I mean, it's not a 100-year-old vine, but it's about 30 years old at this point. Yeah. So pretty old for.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing, you know, Judgment of Paris, late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. this became wine country, and so you saw a lot of Chardonnay and Pinot planted, and now you drive around, you're seeing a lot of replantings because. Mm-hmm. Around that 30-year-old, a lot of vines can't hold up. Kellyanne can.
Yeah, because it was about in the early 70s is when you started seeing some of the prices of like Chardonnay and Pinot mm-hmm. Noir just, you know, really spiking. And suddenly you saw the prunes go away and the grapes mm-hmm. come in.
Right.
And that's 45 years ago.
Thank God. Can you imagine people coming all over the world going, where are you going for vacation? Prune country.
We'd have a radio show about prunes today.
I hate prunes.
Please,
clonal value.
Having worked in the prunes, I was not sad to see many of the orchards go by the wayside.
Right.
Yeah. It's California wine country, brought to you by Della Tofola, the beverage people, and of course Bottle Barn. And don't forget, each segment every week is podcast. You can go to calwinecountry.com. or any other place where fine podcasts are offered. Make sure you subscribe. Look, how's that? I didn't have to have you tell me. Yeah, and check it out. If you missed one or you're thinking, what was the wine they were talking about that sounded so good and you can't remember, go to the podcast.
Because you can't take notes when you're driving.
Well, I do, but other than that, no, you shouldn't. Anyway, so calwinecountry.com, or as I say, wherever great podcasts are offered. Our guests today from La Crema, Ben Fine and Jen Walsh. She is the winemaker. I can't remember the last time La Crema was in. I think it was prior to you. It was probably
no. I was because Ben and I sort of pioneered this show in a certain way because it was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and wow. This.
Well, I was probably taking notes and wasn't paying attention. While I was driving.
Yeah.
That's why we need the podcast.
There we go.
Oh, okay. What do we have now?
This is Pinot Noir, and this is what Pinot Noir is supposed to be.
This is not Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir is supposed to be identifiable, and it is. In this glass, you have a classic example of how you get from fresh fruit to dried herbs that are essential to the making of a great Pinot. You cannot make great Pinot Noir that's all fruit because you will not make a great wine. You'll make a simple wine.
Really?
This wine is complex. Because what you did was you took the best pieces of the herbs and left them in and took the worst pieces of the herbs and made sure that they went somewhere else and then put this into some new oak and gave it some personality.
What year is this?
Yeah.
2016.
16.
This is a phenomenal 16. Wine. This is up there with the very best Pinot Noirs that are being made in California today. So this would be, I'm guessing, at about $67 to $80 in that range.
Yeah, at the lower part of that, yeah.
Yeah, at the lower part.
It's coming about 60.
60 is a bargain because I've tasted wines like this and they're 75.
Yeah.
So this
Thanks, Sam.
This is a killer wine.
That really is. That's something.
This is a fabulous example.
Well, hopefully our marketing's listening.
The secret to this wine is the acidity, which nobody is going to pay much attention to when they first taste it because the flavors are killer. But the acidity is what's going to make this wine in 3 or 4 or 5 more years as it takes on some time in bottle where all those flavors begin to knit. I had an old friend who was a wine columnist, friend of mine, who passed away some years ago, and he was a libertarian. He believed in no federal laws of any sort. And then he told me one day, he said, there should be a federal law that doesn't permit Pinot Noir to be released until it's 5 years old. So how
long would you lay it down, Berger?
Well, I have an article coming out in about 2 weeks that says that the most you ever want to put Pinot Noir in the cellar for is 12 years, ever. Now, that's a general rule. So this would be 12 years from 2016, so we're talking about 2028. But I think 2028 is short for this wine.
Mm.
I think this will go in at least 15 to 18 years.
But it's so drinkable right now.
Well, that's the secret. You have to have patience.
What about decanting, which you're always
doing? Decanting will help a lot. And in this particular case, it's so young already. I mean, still, we've already seen many 17s released on the marketplace. They're way, way, way too young, most of them. This 16 is still a baby, an absolute infant. You probably were disappointed that you had to release it this soon. But this wine needs at least another year before its formal release. So anybody
who
buys it,
because the majority of our fans and listeners aren't.
We're not going to live that long.
And millennials aren't patient.
I would say decanting will really be a pleasure for the first 5 minutes. But given an hour or two in a decanter, then you're going to start to see how decanting really works. You know, 20 minutes is not going to do much.
Yeah, we just opened these wines, too. So they're
But that's the thing. 12 years. 12 hours, right? I mean, there's beautiful fruit, and they do great with food, but you definitely can lay them down. That's what's great about Pinot Noir.
Yeah, and as Kathy said, we may not be around. And you said, Ben said, and the millennials have no patience. So just decant it for a couple hours.
Well, the one thing that you will get initially is raspberry and boysenberry.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, the beverage people, and, of course, Della Tofola. 60 years, actually more than 60 years, they've been making equipment for the wine industry. They do it worldwide, from crushers to conveyors, pumps to presses, filters to fillers, complete packaging solutions, everything to get your grapes from vineyard to bottle easily. And a few friends have said, why is Della Tofola a sponsor? And I say, because every winemaker and winery owner listens to this show every Wednesday. They have technicians that are there for all your needs. 544-5300. Better yet, go to DellaTofola.us. I'm taking the head chef position at Villette in Healdsburg. Look at this thing. This is actually what they wear. The chefs wear this exact thing with all the buttons and stuff. And it says, it's engraved, and it says...
Chef,
yeah, Villette, yes. Healdsburg, and then it says embroidered Chef Steve Jackson.
Why did they put the word chef backwards, though?
Because it's me. Oh, okay.
It's far too clean.
No, I'm kidding. There is no Bert Bunwad, thank God, and it will be here forever. We're on our 12th year on this show. It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger today. Ben Fine and winemaker Jen Walsh are here. Dan touched on this at the very beginning, but explain your role at La Crema.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in the role that I have. My title's wine educator for the winery, but I get to do a little bit of everything. When I'm lucky, Jen lets me hang out with her and the winemaking team, and I get to learn about the wine, spend time in the vineyards, got to dig out some tanks last
you,
week.
You've made wine, haven't you?
I drink enough to where I think I have, or I might tell someone I have.
That's close enough.
But, I dug out a tank a couple days ago, so I helped. If anyone asks, sure. But maybe one day.
All right, now I want to talk about the locations because they're beautiful. Now, you've got La Crema Estate at Sara Lee's Vineyard. Talk about where that is and how people get there.
Sure. I mean, this property, you talk about historic Russian River Valley property. This is it. It goes back 1882. You had a German immigrant growing apple trees out there. You had Italian brothers doing bootleg brandy during Prohibition. But it's really well known.
Thank God it wasn't prunes.
They say it's still hidden down in Marquess Creek. So... we go out there one day. But really, Sara Lee McClellan, who married Richard Cundy, they are what – this powerhouse is what made this property so famous.
And we have Sara Lee and Richard's grove at the fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, rest in peace. And they turned this grove that was at the base of the property. Imagine a football field covered in poison oak and blackberry bushes. They cleared it, and this became a hub for the community where they were bringing in locals, volunteers, kids, whoever. They were doing fundraisers, auctions, food and wine pairings, chefs, winemakers. Everyone was there. They'd sort of – people would stumble up the hill, really, after the events, and Sara Lee would open the doors to this barn-converted house and legendary after parties we hear about. So, when they reached out to us, we were honored that we could – honor their legacy and maintain our story. And, you guys have been out there. It's really incredible. 260 acres, 200 dedicated to 10 different grape varieties. And we're honoring some of the handshake deals that they had. So some of the fruit will never be ours, but luckily the Chardonnay and Pinot.
And then you've got La Crema Tasting Room, which is a ways away, not too far. So the tasting room actually... is there, and how far is it from Sara Lee's?
So there's a tasting room at Sara Lee's where you can visit, and there's all sorts of experiences from picnics to vineyard tours to all sorts of ways to experience the wine. But then we have a tasting room on the square of Healdsburg also.
Oh, that's right, of course.
The property in Russian River, however, the renovations and restorations that have been done on those buildings is not to be believed. Mm-hmm. And if you can visit the property, you definitely should because it's a real showpiece.
Which one's on Slusser?
That's the Sara Lee property. And, Sara Lee is legendary for many reasons. But one thing, she got the community what they wanted, but she also got what she wanted. And she designed this property, lots of permits and fines she'd pay off because she wanted to design it in a certain way, which is great for us. I wish we could take
an
credit for it.
An amazing woman.
Yeah. We were talking about it, Jen and I. You know, we have this golf cart sort of on steroids that's raised, drive around drinking wine. Richard Cundy planted jujube and exotic fruit tree from China. You can pick that. There's
I don't think Jen wanted you to say that.
Which part? Which part?
Tasting wine.
What did I say?
Driving around in the souped-up golf cart drinking wine.
Taste. And,
which reminds me, I got to say this again. It's Slusser Road, but if you do a wine tasting there, and as you're leaving, you call it Slusser Road, call Uber.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hey, one thing I did almost forget is that Rich himself was an absolutely world-class nurseryman, mm-hmm. and he understood clones of Pinot Noir like no one else.
Wow.
There was probably nobody closer to the soil than he and Andrei Chelichev, who passed away out in the Napa Valley some years ago. The two of them really understood clones of Pinot Noir like no one else. And when Rich talked about clones, he meant it because he had those planted in his vineyards, and he knew which are the best. This is the closest. This wine called Shell Ridge Pinot Noir is the closest thing you'll get in California to Gevrey Chambertin.
Wow. Mm. Thank you. Yeah, so I brought two Pinots. The first one we tried was our Fogvale Pinot, mm-hmm. and the second one now is Shell Ridge, and we're kind of taking a tour around Sonoma County a bit. First one is, in my opinion, classic Russian River.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of the vineyards at the corner of Piner and Olivet, Santa Rosa Plains neighborhood. We like to talk about neighborhoods when we talk about Russian River. And, you know, thanks for your kind words about that wine. This is our Shell Ridge. It's our most coastal vineyard. It's near the town of Annapolis. It's, as the crow flies, it's only a few miles from Healdsburg, but it's about an hour and a half to get there on these old logging roads, Skag Springs. It's a wonderful vineyard. I love working with this fruit. It has a, savory quality, kind of a wild quality to it, but also, like you said, violets and blackberries.
People that listen to this show all the time know I don't like to talk about myself, so Dan, why don't you talk about me for a while? No, but I got to say this. I got to do this. I meant to do it last week, and I forgot. But check out these socks.
What? Oh, those are party socks.
That is cool. What?
Wine glasses, champagne. Corbell sent them to me.
I see what you're doing.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Support wine country. Wear wine socks.
We've got a hat with your name on it.
we're
do you have any La Crema underwear?
I know. We're going to talk to the marketing team about that.
Yeah.
We need better socks.
Yeah. We got to get you to come by.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've got to. I was in Healdsburg once.
Did they let you home?
No, I didn't mean that. I meant I was at your place in Healdsburg, and it's cool.
And we actually just, we totally changed that tasting. It's definitely worth checking out. Mm-hmm. It's a totally new feel.
And where in Healdsburg, again?
Just south of the square, I believe, on the western side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I got to get out to the Sara Lee Vineyard. That I have not seen.
It's a special place to go and taste wine and get the story. Ben tells the story so eloquently, and the view overlooking the vineyards, especially this time of year in the fall, the leaves are turning.
It's
incredible.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. And because that clonal selection that you talked about, how many different
clones? Oh my gosh! How many Pinot clones?
Yeah,
well over a dozen.
Right. Yeah. So when you go to the fourth story and you look over the canopy. Is changing colors. So right now, with fall, you get this sea of yellow, orange, green, red. It's incredible. You go around the lake. There's river otters.
River otters.
Right.
I love otters.
Right. Especially, they're even better when you're sipping on,
Do they drink wine, too?
Oh, they do. Ours do.
Do they drive around in the really hot golf cart?
Well, and I think that's sort of a testament to how healthy the area is, too, that there's otters and,
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, Della Tofla, and the Beverage People. It's time to start getting your home-brewed beers ready for holiday gifts and parties. You can make those strong ales to get you through the winter as well. You need to brew them now. The beverage people are ready to help. They started in 1980. They are Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters. They can help you craft your next beer masterpiece. Their goal is to make you succeed and have fun with your hobby. They stock fresh, high-quality ingredients, well-made equipment at competitive prices. They always put their customers first. And it's not just beer, wine. You can make mead, cheese. You can learn how to cure olives and so much more.
I have a good friend who called me this afternoon and asked me to come by his place. And so I said, what am I coming by for? And he said, my first IPA, I made it because the beverage people told me how.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Again, since 1980. It's thebeveragepeople.com. Better yet, go to their store. They're at 1845 Piner Road in Santa Rosa, thebeveragepeople.com. They're great folks, and they do amazing stuff.
I need to know one thing, is what other varieties are you making that are available only in the tasting room?
None. We make a Pinot Gris.
Well, I saw. Well, what about the sweet ass?
Let's talk about that a little bit.
I don't think you can say sweet ass on the air.
So we make a very small amount of late harvest Riesling. Very small amount. And it's probably the hardest wine.
I got to get in my car right now.
Dan, Mr. Riesling.
It's on my business
card. We have a bottle
card for
you.
That's great. Thank you.
Just one Riesling?
We'll talk. Okay. Yeah, it's delicious. It's great. Great after dinner or with dessert wine.
Dan, talk again about why you're such a big fan of Riesling.
Riesling is a versatile grape in ways that make the word versatile almost embarrassed. Because this is a grape that can do everything. It makes dry wine, makes sweet wine. It makes austere wine. It makes succulent wine. You can make a simple wine and drink it up in 4 seconds, and you can make a wine that ages for 30 years. I mean, it's a grape variety that really has no bounds. And winemakers around the world have tried it and have done. Yesterday I went to a tasting of Austrian and German Rieslings. And some of the Austrians blew me away. Really? And the Australians are making fabulous Riesling.
And they're not too sweet?
No. They're making – the Australian stuff is so dry, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Wow. And then the sweeter ones that used to be popular in New Zealand are now going away, and we're starting to see dry Riesling out of New Zealand. Go figure that one out. We see there's a great, reasonably priced Chilean Riesling that just hit the marketplace. So it's a great variety that needs to be explored. And I have a dinner set up with Randy –
Oh, cool.
In about 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
To talk about Riesling.
All right. Great.
I bet you two can, that'll be a long dinner. For sure. Yeah.
Randy is the wine master who sort of oversees a lot of the winemaking over at Jackson Family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's the thing. The idea with La Crema, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but Jen's going to make wine and the team's going to make wines as north as Willamette Valley, Oregon, through coastal California down to Santa Rita, Santa Lucia. So it's about showing the different vineyard sites.
Nice.
And we were getting some questions about the pricing and the cases of these wines. And like we talked about, these are low-case production. You really, you go to lacrema.com or you call us, we can ship it to you. But you're only going to find them at the property, at Sara Lee's or the tasting room, or on very select wine lists at some restaurants. And the Pinot Noirs are going to come in between $50 and $60, and the Chardonnays around, $30 to $40.
And Kathy you've been with us several shows where the wine was $75, $78 a bottle, and you said, gee, that's a lot of money, but it's good wine. Well, this is about the same quality level, if not better, and it's cheaper. So.
Is this the second Pinot Noir that you...
This is the second one. Did you get... I don't think you got that one.
No, I
didn't. Shell Ridge. Thanks for that.
This is the Shell Ridge.
This is the one that smells more like violets. Yeah. It's got that wild violet and raspberry component in it.
Very cool.
And when you smell it, you'll pick up that violet right away.
Shell Ridge, a.k.a. Sexy Date Night.
Yeah. What's fascinating about these wines is that they are personality-driven, and they are different from each other. But as they take on a little bit more time in bottle, they'll be more Pinot Noir-like. Because right now they're so different because of the fact that they're basically based upon fruit. Mm-hmm. And as they age, they take on Bottle Bouquet, and that gives them more of the personality.
This is totally different than the other one.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, and, you know, I think speaking for a lot of Pinot Noir winemakers, what we like to do is we don't want to make shades of gray Pinot Noir. We want it to really reflect the place where it's grown. And so I think that these are very two different places and two different wines.
We're wrapping up this week's California Wine Country with Dan Berger. I want to say special thanks to Ben Fine and the winemaker at La Crema, Jen Walsh. You got to go in Healdsburg to the tasting room and also La Crema Estate at Sara Lee's Vineyard. It's lacrema.com, and check them out on the web. You can get various La Crema wines at Bottle Barn. It's one of my favorite wineries in all the years I've been in California. I just got here last week.
But you can do a lot of damage.
I was on the turnip truck. But I just, no, you guys are amazing, and it's an honor to have you in, and we appreciate it. And Pete Fappiano, thanks for hanging in today.
My pleasure.
What are we doing next week?
It's a harvest dependent. A couple of winemakers have told me, if I'm done, I'll come in. Yeah, but we're still in the middle of harvest in spite of these high winds, and God knows what we're going to face next. But wineries all over the county have bought generators to keep moving. So a lot of them are anticipating blackouts probably tomorrow, and a lot of them are still in harvest. But until we know, like Monday next week, I won't know what's next week's
okay.
show.
All right, no problem. All right, it's all brought to you by the beverage people, Della Tofola, and, of course, Bottle Barn. Have a great night.